First John with me. First John 1, the title, as I texted to you, should be of great interest to every sinner saved by grace, a message of confession, forgiveness, and cleansing. A message of sinners, a message for God's people, a message that will be convicted and yet comforted if we hear. There's no comfort without conviction. No comfort without conviction. Look at verse 3 and 4. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This is to those who know God, those who have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And it's a desire that others might know Him. This is life eternal, our Lord said, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. It's life. It's salvation to have a knowledge of, but more than that, a union with. That knowledge implies a love. To know, like Adam knew his wife Eve. That's what Paul said, oh, that I may know Him. So this is for those who know Him, have this union with the Father and His Son. And he said, we've declared Him unto you and written these things unto you that you might have fellowship with the Father and His Son. And these things we write unto you that your joy might be full. Now, you remember me saying on Sunday, and it's a good statement, that you are who you walk with. That you become like those that you commune with and have fellowship with. That's just so. If you're walking with the world, you'll become like the world. Because that's, John is the one. He says so much about this in this whole book. This whole book is to discourage God's people from worldliness. And in the latter part of his book, he said, they are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world. And the world hears them. But we're of God. Paul said, our conversation's in heaven. And he that is of God heareth us and walketh with us. John's the one that also said, we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And it is. What fellowship can we have with darkness? Light doesn't rub off on darkness. The Lord, you must be born again. But darkness and the world sure rubs off on us. But if we walk with God, this is what he says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, that light is imparted to us. If we walk with God, we'll be like him. We'll be like him. Genesis 17. Look at Genesis 17. This is what the Lord said to Abraham. Genesis 17. In a moment, we'll look at what the Lord said of Abraham. Genesis 17. The Lord appeared to Abraham, verse 1. He was 99 years old. He appeared to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant with thee. Between me and thee, and multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face and talked with him. And Abraham's called in the scriptures the friend of God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You walk with your friends, don't you? That's who you want to spend time with. That's who Abraham walked with. That's who Noah walked with. Enoch walked with. That's who Alan walked with, don't you? Our Lord's the one to say it. John said the friendship of the world is enmity with God. So it's serious. And so go back to our text. So these verses, these following verses, he says in verse 5 and 6 of 1 John 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. We lie. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. You see that? He said, we write these things unto you. We declare him unto you that you may have fellowship with him, walk with him, that your joy might be full. And we write these things unto you that you sin not. That you sin not. You walk with him. This is written to declare Christ. It's written to declare our God. It's written to convict and convince us of sin and discourage it. And then he tells us of forgiveness. We're going to get to it. And as I said, there's no comfort without conviction. Paul told young Timothy, he said, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, correct. So, all right, this book tells us about the consequences of sin. Sin is no light thing. No, there's no such thing as a little sin. There's no such thing. There are really no such thing as little consequences. Sin is why we suffer and die, and sin is why the Lord suffered and died. Sin is what put our Lord on the cross. How can we make light of it? How can we indulge it? How can we continue in it? Paul wrote that. Then how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? How can it be? God help us. We need help, no one. We need forgiveness. We need cleansing from sin. David said this, and I believe you have this desire too. He said, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. Not mine, his. Through the righteousness of Christ imputed to me, imparted to me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, this new birth, this work of God's Spirit. It's completely his work. It's not my work. It's not a cooperative work. It's his work. I'm going to behold thy face in righteousness. This is why David said, I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. It said it four times in Psalm 71. Imputed, imparted, it's not ours, it's his. He said that I'll behold thy face in righteousness, and he said, I'll not be satisfied until I awake with that likeness. This is what Paul said in Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, I want to be delivered from this body of death. There's nothing I want more than be done with this old fella and be like Christ. Can you say that? That's a good sign. That's a good sign that the Lord's done a work in you. God help us. We need help. We need forgiveness. We need cleansing. David needed mercy. David needed forgiveness, didn't he? That's what he prayed for in Psalm 51. But David said this to him, I want to be clean. Didn't he? Cleanse me. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Interested? Verse 6, he says, if we walk in darkness, we lie. No fellowship with God. And we all have done this. We're supposed to be children of light. We fall into darkness. Darkness of the world, the darkness of sin. We all have. We've secretly indulged it in our minds, in our thoughts. Right? But he's going to go on to say, if you don't admit that, you're a liar. God is light. David said, whither shall I flee from thy presence? We looked at that in Psalm 139. The darkness and the light are like to him. And when David wrote that Psalm 51, he said, I did this in your sight. I did this in plain sight of the Lord. What's wrong with me? That's why I said, you've got to create in me a right spirit. All right? So he says, if we walk in the light, if we walk in darkness, we're lying and we don't do the truth. But verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, God help me to walk in the light. Whatever that means, I want to walk in it, don't you? To walk in the light is what? To walk in his word. Here's the way, he said, walk in it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Here's the way. It's not a good way. It's the only way. It's not advice. It's a command. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Here, walk in this way. David wrote this over and over throughout the psalm. Teach me thy way, didn't it? Let me help me to walk aright. Oh, we failed him. We walk in the light. He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Walk in the light of his word, the Holy Spirit. If any man hath not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ who walk, not after the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God leads his people, leads us in the paths of righteousness, for his namesake, right? He leads us. He gives us a light. Can we grieve the Spirit? Yes, we can. Can we quench the Spirit? Yes, we can. And we do. Can we ignore and yes, we can, and we do. But this is what he says. Take heed. We're led by the Spirit. Walk in the light. He's given us a conscience. It's a good thing. Look at Romans 13 with me. Romans 13. It says, walk in the light. That means walk open and honest before God. A modern word that's used today, pretty good word, transparent. Be transparent. It means be open, nothing to hide. That's what that means. That's good. And he even tells us not to lie to one another. Doesn't it? Well, open and honest. Isn't that good counsel? Romans 13, 12 and 13. Look at this. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. There's some protection in this. Walking in the light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Like it's wide open. You remember that article I wrote on, let's talk like everybody's listening. You remember that? In private. Let's talk like, you remember I gave that illustration, I left this on. And I went home. And I searched my brain, what was I saying? And you do the same thing. Well, let's talk like that in private so they don't have anything to regret. Huh? Walk, verse 13. Walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. That's what got David in trouble in, isn't it? He should have been out fighting like the rest of the kings were doing. He was lounging. Not in strife. And it put on the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. Do you need them? I need them. All right, go back to our text. Walk in the light. See us in the light. No, go to Ephesians 5 with me. We read this on, when was it? Sunday, I believe. Ephesians 5. Go there. We need to read it over and over again. This is, they were instructed over and over and over and over about our walk. And I can't understand for the life of me why anybody would resent that. And why any preacher of God's word would not declare it. I can't understand it. I want to hear this. I want to know, don't you? Ephesians 5, and I resent with every fiber of my being those that say we don't declare these things. You know. But Ephesians 5, verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This is what he leads us into. Proving. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. His good and perfect will, he wrote of in Romans 12. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. All things are reproved that are approved make manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Christ came, remember, he said that. He said, if I hadn't come, they'd have a cloak for their sin. But I've come and exposed them, and now they have no cloak. But then in John 3, we read this, where it says, he that doeth the truth cometh to the light. God's people, they come to the light to do what? Cleanse me. Teach me. Instruct me. I want to be like you. I'm tired of being like me. Read on in Ephesians 5. He says in verse 14, wherefore he saith, wake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means above reproach. That's what that says. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is the will of the Lord, your sanctification. Set apart, consecrated to Him, and live a life like that. Anybody resent that? I'm just reading it. I fear if somebody resents this. I'm just being honest with God's Word, aren't I? This is what God's people want, all right? Now look at verse 7 of our text. Go back there. We walk in the light. We have fellowship with Him, Father and the Son. Now aren't you glad? The second part of this verse. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's not saying that God will cut you off if you sin. We feel like He will. But He does, though, don't we? That's what David was afraid of. Take not thy Holy Spirit. Cast me not away from... He thought God had cut him off. Why? His sin. No. God said, I will never forsake thee. We're going to read Hosea here in a moment. And you're going to be glad we did. What it's saying is, just plainly and simple, like David one time he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And David lived like that for 9 months, 10 months, or what, a year or more. He lived like that after his sin. He wasn't thinking straight. And he had no fellowship with God, or he wouldn't have lived like that for that long. And finally, God sent a preacher, Nathan, and convicted him, said, thou art the man. And it killed him. He said, I was out of my head. But what it is God, we won't feel like we have any fellowship with God. We'll feel like He's cut us off, and rightly so. We'll feel His frowns. We'll feel His displeasure. And it's not like when we're doing good, He's smiling at us. No, we never feel like that. After we've done all that's required of us, we're still an unprofitable servant. So what he's saying is that we're sure going to feel his displeasure, and how can we have fellowship with him? But run to him. You remember Peter, I love this. Simon Peter, when he first knew the Lord, when the Lord first revealed himself to Simon Peter, is when all those fish got in his boat, you know. Simon Peter knew, if he knows these fish, he knows everything I've been thinking. And he wasn't thinking good thoughts. Do you? All day? Would you want people to know your thoughts just since you've been in this room? God does. All right? Simon Peter, he said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. All right? After 3 years went by, and the Lord revealed himself to Simon Peter over and over again as a savior of sinners. After 3 years, and then when finally he denied the Lord, he sinned against him worse than ever. And I believe he thought maybe he was cut off. That didn't it? And he heard somebody said, oh, Simon, Lord told us to call you too. Sweetest words you ever heard. All right, they were in that boat. Remember? And the Lord said, cast your net over. And Simon Peter had denied the Lord. And then somebody said, it's the Lord. What Simon Peter did? He couldn't get to him fast enough. He couldn't get to him fast enough. He knew he had sinned against him, but he still had to come back to him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Who? Us. Anybody? Cleanseth us from how many sins? All sins. All sins. Isn't that wonderful? All right, do you remember what the Lord said to Abraham? Listen to what he said of Abraham. In Genesis 18. Let me just read this to you. If you want to turn, you can. But Genesis 18, the Lord said of Abraham, he said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, destroy Sodom? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He said, I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he's spoken of him. That's what the Lord said about Abraham. That's what he said. Listen to what he said about Job. You remember what he said about Job? He said this to Abraham. He said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I want the Lord to say that about me. Don't you? Lord, help me to walk in the light as thou art in the light, like Abraham, like Job. But Abraham, he went down to Egypt. Egypt always represents the world. And he denied his wife, not once, but twice. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Abraham's sin. Now, Abraham didn't walk with the world, but he fell in it. Like Noah. Noah didn't walk with the world. He forsook it, didn't he? Got in that ark, but he fell. Don't you love that statement that Noah was in the ark and he sinned? Was he a sinner in the ark? Sure he was. But he didn't fall out of the ark. He couldn't. He stumbled and fell, but not out of the ark. He's in the ark. David, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And bless God. The blessed promise says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us, whoever you may be, from all sin. What kind of sin? All sin. Doesn't the scripture say, all manner of sin shall be forgiven? Is that good news? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right in our text, John 2:1 says, little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. Don't do it. Isn't that a good parent? Don't do it. Don't think on it. Don't dwell on it. Pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Don't fulfill it. John's the one that wrote about it. James. He said, when sin is conceived, lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and the end of it is what? Death. Or you'll feel dead. But he said, and he said, if any man sin. Don't sin. Sunday morning we're going to look at the advocate. We're going to look at the advocate we have. Our lawyer. He says, these things we write unto you that you sin not. Consequences are terrible. Like you feel like you've lost fellowship with the Lord. When, if any man, whoever it is, sin, we have an advocate. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. If any man do, and we all do, what are we going to do if we do? And we will. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? Our worst sins may be yet to come. I hate the thought of that. Don't you? I hope not, but they may be. How are we going to undo it? We can't. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. Good news. There is forgiveness. Psalm 130, verse 4. Don't you love that? There is forgiveness with thee. Can you quote the rest of it? That thou mayest be pure. That thou mayest be pure. Don't you think David feared, God, I'm cut off forever. And he found out he wasn't. He is the most grateful, humble, broken, thankful man on planet Earth. And when those thoughts rose back up in his head, and they did, what do you think he did? Oh, Lord, deliver me from going down into the pit. I've been in that pit and I went back in it. Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the awful effects of it, the consequences of it. Look at verse 8 now. He says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. That's talking about original sin. You know, somebody years ago summed up the truth in 5 doctrines. All right? And it is a summary of the truth. There is no truth without these 5 truths. It begins with depravity. Or 3 things. My pastor preached a message on 3 questions. What happened in the garden? What happened on the cross? And what happens in the heart when God saves a man? This is the truth. What happened in the garden? Man died. He became totally depraved. His will, his affection, his mind, his whole head is sick. His whole heart is faint. That's Isaiah 1, isn't it? What happened in the garden? Isaiah says the consequences of it is he's died. His head is sick. His heart is faint. From the sole of his feet, his walk, to the crown of his head, his thoughts, and everything in between, his affection, everything about him. That's man. But you know what we've got? You know what salvation is? It's for us to say that personally about ourselves. Not say, well, Kelly, well, he's sure a rotten fella. No. Oh, wretched man that I am. If any man say not, I'm the chief of sinners. He's deceiving himself. And the truth's not in it. This is what the truth comes and reveals to every born-again believer. This is what the truth. The first thing is, you're depraved. Not man's depraved. You're depraved. You see, you don't need Jesus Christ if you're not depraved. You don't need a blood redemption if you're not depraved. If you can do something for yourself, you don't need Christ. If righteousness comes by the law, you don't need Jesus Christ. But sins are only put away one way, by the blood of Jesus Christ. God making His Son to be sin for us. And you're only going to be in the presence of a holy God one way, His righteousness. Now, if anybody say anything less than that, oh, I believe in total depravity. That's not salvation. It's I'm depraved. Oh, wretched. Many people sing Amazing Grace. John Newton is the one that wrote that. And he thought of himself, he never got over the fact that God saved that a wretch like him. He wasn't talking about anybody but himself. So if we say we have no sin, all sin, any sin, original sin, we are not going to be condemned or damned for Adam's sin. Nobody dies. Nobody is punished for Adam's sin. That's why we believe babies are saved because they don't sin at the similitude of Adam's transgression. Saved, we're lost because of our own sin. If we say we have no sin, all sin. If we don't say from the sole of my feet, the top of my head, there's no soundness in my flesh. The truth's not in us. The truth's not in us. All right, verse 9. If we confess our sins. All right, now he's talking about committal of sins. The sin he talked about in verse 8 is the nature I have. When David said, my sin is ever before me, I don't think he's talking about that one act. I think he's talking about the nature that made him do what he did. And I know he is, like Paul, wretched man that I am. This, oh, I find then in me a law of warring in my member. When I would do good, evil's present with me. That's what he's talking about. Now, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, actual sins that we commit. Sin is our nature. Now, there's a new man created in the image of Jesus Christ. He's holy. He's righteous. He's unblameable. He's unreprovable. He sinneth not. In 1 John 5, he sinneth not. In him is no sin. It's a new creature that God born. You must be born again. That's this new creature. God's creation, not ours. His creation. It's a mystery, but it's so. That there are two men in a new man. Everyone is born again. There's a new man, there's an old man. This new man loves holiness, loves righteousness, loves God, loves Christ, loves the truth, walks in it, loves it, talks to God. This old man doesn't love any of that. He hates all of that. He's absolutely opposed to all of that. They are opposites. That's why opposites don't attract. They're poles apart. They repulse each other. And it's a mystery, but it's so. And every one of God's people feel this war within them. They have this new man that loves God, that loves holiness. They have this old man that loves sin. This is why it says, put on the new man. Put off the old. Feed the new man. Starve the old. All right, this old man is what makes us do what we do. This old man makes us do sins. Sins of thought, sins of word, sins of act. This old man is what makes us do that. Sins. All right, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins. This is repentance. That's what this is. All right, who do we confess to? It says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Do not, I repeat, do not confess particular sins to any other human being. Don't do it. Unless that person is as forgiving as Jesus Christ. Unless that person loves you just like Jesus Christ, they'll never be able to forget that. They will never treat you the same. They cannot. They cannot get it out of here. Our God says their sins and iniquities I remember no more. It's like it never happened. And he tells us to confess them all. He knows it anyway. This is what this means by being open. He knows them anyway, but do not confess. Because what it does too is we confess sins to one another, they won't forget them. It changes everything, and it feeds their flesh. It feeds their flesh. Tell me if it's not so that you sometimes take encouragement from the failures and the falls of others. I know a man was a preacher, and I thought he was a good preacher. We all thought he was a good preacher. And he just up one day left his wife and three children for another woman. And men confronted him. And you know what his answer was? said, I'll just get in line with David. Oh, well. That's not what David was saying. He was taking encouragement from David's sin when it should have convicted him. You know what I'm saying? Should have convicted him. The Lord told David, the sword's never going to depart from your house because of it. You're going to have trouble from now on. That's what he said. And he knew it. And he knew everything that came on him. He said, I deserve it. I deserve a whole lot more. All right, verse 9, he says, but if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, all of them, sins to him, the only mediator, the great high priest, James. Now, somebody say, well, James said confess your sin. No, he didn't. He said confess your faults. Look it up. There's a difference. And some young buck sat in my office one day and argued that with me. Mandy was there with me. He said, it says confess your sins. I said, no, it doesn't. It said confess your faults. And he had a Bible that said sin. I said, throw that in the waste can right now. That's Catholicism. The word faults actually translates to side slips, to lapses, to errors, not particular evil sins. It's like saying, I got a bad attitude. I mean, don't confess, but I got a bad attitude. I've had a wrong spirit. I've done this. I've been in a bad spirit. False. Confess them to one another. Brother, I'm sorry. I acted and said what I did. Don't confess your sin. Confess your sin to him. Confess your faults. That's James 5:16. Don't confess them to anyone ever but the Lord. And confess them all to him. He knows all of them. Don't hold back. If confession is good for the soul, it's only good for the soul if you confess them to Christ. If you confess them to him. He's the only one that can give you forgiveness and peace and comfort and rest and assurance that he's forgiven you. Forgiveness is a wonderful word. A wonderful thing. Confess your sins to the Lord. All of them. Now, confession involves more than just saying forgiveness. Repentance is more than just saying forgiveness. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth the transgression. I want to turn with me. Proverbs 28. This is important. Because this is true repentance. The word repentance means change. The word repentance means turn. Proverbs 28:13. Look at this. And this is what John is saying. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Confess them to him. Verse 13. He that covereth, Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Confess them. All of them. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. Have mercy. See that? What if David had said, please forgive me, please forgive me? And that's all he said. That's what Esau said. Esau said, my punishment, my punishment, my punishment. Paul said, oh wretched man that I am, oh wretched man that I am. David said, cleanse me, cleanse me. He said, forgive me, and he said, cleanse me. Turn me. Our brother prayed tonight, turn us, O Lord, and we'll be turned. We need to be turned from them. Not just forgiven. We need to be turned from them. All right, in our text. This is wonderful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. What sin? All sin. He is faithful. He said, and we quote this all the time, this is a faithful saying. and worthy of all acceptation. Everybody ought to hear this and believe this, because everybody's a sinner. That Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. That's why he came. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. This man eateth with publicans and sinners. I came to seek and to save the lost. Faithful. He is faithful. He's faithful. Whoever confesses their sins to him, you know what? He will forgive you. Because he's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's faithful. Our God is faithful. I said I was going to read from Hosea. Let's do it. Hosea chapter 11. If you know, we just browsed through this book not long ago about Ephraim. Remember? You remember how it started about Ephraim? Ephraim is a picture of every child of God. He started out by saying, Ephraim, he's joined to his idols. Leave him alone. Didn't he? He joined to his idols. Just leave him alone. But if he was a man, he would have. If God was a man, he'd have left him alone. But he didn't. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Called my son out of Egypt. Verse 3, I taught Ephraim, taking him by their arms. They knew not that I healed. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. I was to them as they that took off the yoke on their jaw. I laid meat before them. But, verse 7, they're bent for backsliding from them. Though they called them to the Most High, none were exalted. Look at verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admon? How shall I set thee as a bow? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentance are kindling again. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. That's why he's faithful to forgive. Everybody asks him. He's God and not man. I may sin against you and sin against you and sin against you, and finally you say, that's it. And I come back to you and say, please forgive me. And you might have had all you can take, so I ain't doing it. No more. It's over. That's why people get divorces, isn't it? I can't take it anymore. Our Lord said, where's the bill of divorcement I gave you? Where's your bill of divorce? Show it to me. Find it somewhere. Yeah, you've been an unfaithful wife. You always have been. You probably will be again. But show me the bill of divorcement, our Lord said. You won't find it. Why? He's faithful. He's a faithful husband. We're Gomer. He's Hosea. He's faithful. He abideth faithful. If we deny him, he can't deny himself. You love that verse, please. I belong to him. Hosea never would leave Gomer. She left him, he would never would leave her. Why? Because that's a picture of our Lord toward his people. He's faithful. He abided faithful. We're saved by his faithfulness, not ours. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful and just, forgive us our sin. Now, Barnard used to say this, God can't forgive sin. When people first heard him say that, that's blasphemy. He said, no, God's got to punish it. He can't just forgive it. It's got to be paid for. Every sin shall receive a just recompense and reward. That's what God is holy. God is just. I will by no means clear the guilty, but God is merciful. The truth is, God is holy. But God is merciful. What are we going to do? Well, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness. You can't be with God except you're righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. God is angry with the wicked every day. No peace for the wicked, but I'm wicked. Well, righteousness and peace are met together. How? They kissed each other. Where? Person. Jesus Christ. And they met at Calvary. Truth of God. Man's a sinner. Mercy of God. I'm determined to show mercy. Met in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God poured out on him the iniquity, laid on him the iniquity of us all, made him sin to be for us who knew no sin, stripped him naked, gave us his righteousness, and God killed that sinner on that cross, and that was me. God didn't just forgive our sins. He punished them. But God is just, you see. He's just. That's why he cannot put a soul in hell for whom Jesus Christ died. Doctrine? That's my hope. Without Christ died, who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Isn't that good enough? Read on. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're like me, and I know you are, you think, I don't feel one whit better than I did when I was 17 years old. In fact, I feel worse. What it is your understanding of sin and God and all this. Your light, more light encompasses more darkness. You see more than you saw before. You understand more. And we think, I don't feel like he's doing anything to me. But our Lord said, sin shall not have dominion. He's able to subdue all things unto us. I will say this. And it's not bragging at all. It's just thanking God for his spirit, for his grace. Paul said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. He said, it's not me, but it's Christ in me. And thank God, like John Newton said, here he said it, where he said, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be. It's true. It's true. If I was, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I would find this the most painful thing on earth. You wouldn't catch me right now. Now I don't want to be anywhere else. That's that new man. Read on. Verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, if we say we have not sinned, done anything. Oh, I've never done this. I've never done. Brethren, our Lord magnified the law. That means he blew it up to see that it's spiritual. Paul said the law is spiritual, meaning it demands perfection in thought and word and deed. Our Lord said, if you've looked on someone to love, you're guilty. Man can't be held guilty for his thought. Yes, you can. God said you would. It's only the grace of God that kept you from doing it. Right? We get the blame for whatever we do. He gets the credit for whatever we don't do. Or whatever we do. Good. He gets the credit for that. The glory for that. If we say we have not sinned, if you'd ask any true believer, the oldest woman or man in this room, they would say there's not one single sin that I haven't thought about doing, wanted to do, if not committed it. I thought about it and wanted to do it. Right? If we say we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. Calling God a liar. As God said, there's not a just man on earth that doeth good sin. Not one. And whoever doesn't sin is because that's Christ in them. That's not that man. Romans 1 talks about the world. Romans 2 talks about religious people. Romans 3 said, are we better? We're better than we're all. It's proved before we're all in sin. We make him a liar and his word's not in us. Now we're going to get to Sunday. We're going to get to chapter 2. We sure do need an advocate, don't we? Oh, we're all guilty.
Guilty as charged.
Whatsoever things the law saith, it saith them that are under the law. Every mouth may be stopped. You know what Job said? The Lord said of Job, there's none like him. A perfect man, upright, escheweth evil. There's none like him in the earth. There's nobody better than Job. He's the best man on earth. That's what God said about Job. You know what Job said about himself? In Job 40, he said, behold, I am mild. Now, if Job said that, where's that lead man? We need an advocate. Tune in Sunday. Stand with me. Our Lord and our God, thank you for your word. Sure promises. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. To the glory of God by us. We thank you for your blessed promises. Oh, this is life eternal. Christ, his blood, his righteousness. How we thank you. Oh, Lord, take your word. Convict us, convince us of sin. Prove us, correct us, rebuke us, comfort us, encourage us, mold us, make us, shape us, conform us to Christ's image. In his name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.